Facing an escalating Ebola crisis in West Africa, President Barack Obama and Western leaders are moving to provide emergency assistance to control the virus, which has killed over 2,600 people and is spreading quickly in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. The president pledged to deploy 3,000 U.S. military personnel, including engineers and doctors, to Liberia and Senegal, where they will train healthcare workers and provide 1,700 Ebola treatment beds in Liberia, the hardest-hit nation in West Africa's Ebola outbreak. France, too, promised to deploy its military to build a new hospital in rural southeast Guinea, where Ebola was first detected in early March, and where a number of healthcare workers and journalists were recently attacked and killed. Britain has also agreed to establish 700 beds for Ebola patients in Sierra Leone, whose residents were recently subjected to a 3-day mandatory lockdown to control the spread of the disease. Overall, the World Health Organization says it will cost over $1 billion to control the deadly Ebola outbreak, which has infected over 5,000 West Africans to date. Half of those infected are expected to die. Doctors Without Borders President Joanne Liu exclaimed, "The window of opportunity to contain this outbreak is closing. We need more countries to stand up. We need more deployment, and we need it now." In early March, Doctors Without Borders warned the world that the size of West Africa's Ebola outbreak was unprecedented, but these warnings were largely ignored by Western donor nations. Former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton flew to Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria, in February 2012 to confront the growing unprecedented opposition to natural gas fracking in Eastern Europe and to revive a $68 million energy deal that gave oil giant Chevron generous concessions to exploit Bulgaria's shale gas deposits. Shortly before Clinton arrived in Sofia, thousands of anti-fracking activists filled the streets, protesting their government's sweetheart deal with Chevron. Then the Bulgarian parliament approved a moratorium on fracking, the controversial method of extracting gas from shale formations. Clinton intervened in the fracking crisis by promising Bulgaria access to state-of-the-art technology to extract shale gas. Clinton, widely expected to be a candidate for president in 2016, also intervened in neighboring Romania to head off a grassroots campaign there to ban fracking. According to an investigation by Mother Jones magazine, during her term as Secretary of State, Clinton promoted fracking in order to boost U.S. energy companies, including Chevron, and to undercut Russia's energy clout in Europe. Since the shale gas boom exploded in the United States 7 years ago, the profits of the Russian state-owned company Gazprom fell by 60% in both 2008 and 2009. Staten Island public school principal Aurelia Curtis had a stack of 700 teacher evaluations waiting when school opened this year after Labor Day. The evaluation forms are designed to assess the progress of teachers based on student test scores, a byproduct of education reform policy set in motion 30 years ago with the goal of raising student academic performance. Curtis, who supports the goals of the National Education Standards known as Common Core, finds that the downside of reform is mounting paperwork and mandatory testing, which means she no longer has adequate time for important conversations with teachers. Modern education reform got its start in 1983 with a Reagan-era report titled A Nation at Risk, compiled by a commission made up of government, education, and corporate leaders. The report shocked the nation into action with a dire warning that U.S. public schools would see falling SAT scores and produce 23 million functionally illiterate Americans. A Nation at Risk identified 5 broad educational goals, which were implemented in George W. Bush's 2002 No Child Left Behind law and in the Obama administration's Race to the Top grants that have laid the groundwork for the Common Core standards. Now, 43 states have adopted Common Core, but the federal program has provoked a revolt among political activists on the right and left over increased testing and the perceived loss of local control over education policy. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.